may be seated.
Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you here. A couple announcements as we begin. If you notice inside your bulletin, a couple flyers there. First of all, just a reminder that we are collecting school supplies for North River Elementary School. And of course, we have a list here of just some items that you might think about picking up when you're in town. These are just a few thoughts that they could use. This is not exhaustive, of course. There's other sorts of things that you could pick up as well, I'm sure, that you could think of that they might use in the classroom or at the school, book bags or things like that. Sometimes that they need things to give out to the kids. So, if you can pick up some items, and we're doing this through the month of July, or January rather. So we're going to put the items right up front here, and we'll be donating those things come 1st of February. So I think the last Sunday that we'll really be able to collect items would be February 5th. I believe that's right. Basically the first Sunday in February. So I hope that you get a chance to collect those items and that we can make that donation. Also, notice on the back of that, kids, maybe you take note of that, there's a roller skating night coming up. And it's Saturday skate night. It's February the 18th from 6 to 8. And the churches of the North River Ministerial Group are going to come together and do that. So all children are welcome, children of all ages. There's no cost to it, of course. It's a free event. Drink and snacks will be provided as well. And just one thing, kids, I want you to take note there on the bottom, is that we want you to invite your friends, especially those that are unchurched. So mom and dad can help in that as well. But what a great way to invite others that may not have a church family to be a part of it, and just an opportunity to have others come and enjoy in the activities of the church. So I hope that you get a chance to do that. Okay, other announcement note there, of course, leadership meeting January 18th. Leadership team, please take note of that as well. And that will be at 6:30. Also, just the last thing here, I would, two things really. The pulpit exchange will be next Sunday. We will be having Steve Spire from Sangersville come and share with us. Hope that you're here to be a part of that service. And I will be at Sangersville kind of exchanging pulpits with him. Also, just as a reminder as well, this local mission project will begin the week of January 29th. We're still looking for volunteers to come and help with that. We're going to be doing several different projects. I know one in particular is kind of rebuilding some steps and porch for Roy Casmore. And so if you can help with that, that is certainly a plus. Just let me know so I can get the information to you on the times and that sort of thing when they'll be working. Are there any other announcements you'd like to share? Randy?
When you came in this morning, you may have noticed you signed in the monument down the corner. The sign now identifies us as the Moscow Covenant Brethren Church. I'd like to say that this sign was donated anonymously by a couple of church members. I want to personally thank them. And on behalf of the church, the sign was very well engineered. It's very well lit. It has our covenant church logo on it, and they did a fine job on it. Mm-hmm. It's visible at night and daytime. It's unbelievable addition to the church. Just lets the people know that we have a church up on the hill.
Yeah.
We are the Moscow Covenant.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy. And again, thanks to those that donated to make that possible. We appreciate the donation. And I don't know how many of you noticed the new sign when you came in. A lot of times you don't necessarily notice it because you know where the building is. But it's great to have out there as letting people know who we are, where we are. And it looks really good, too. So we're thankful for that. Thank you, Randy, for your work on that, making sure that that got done. So appreciate that.
I have something on the school supplies.
Yes.
If you notice about the
Yes.
You know, there's really pretty pencils that you can buy and all that, you know, it's got all the colors and all these things on it. But when you put them in the pencil sharpener, it eats them. You don't end up with a sharpened pencil and then just before you know it, they're all eat up and they don't have pencil left.
Yeah, I think it gives a name brand here, even for the preferred pencil. I guess you could take note of that, and don't go the cheap route is what we're hearing, but it's nice for the students to have a pencil that lasts, so appreciate that info. And it's nice to have this list. You can put this kind of in your purse or take it with you when you go shopping and be able to pick up the items they need. It's really a good thing. You know, every year when we go and deliver these items, boy, the teachers really appreciate all the work that the area churches do to bring those items in, because a lot of times the kids don't have these things, and sometimes the teachers are putting out money out of their own pocket to provide these things for the kids, and of course we don't want that. We want to help them and help the school as much as we can, so appreciate all those that help. Anything else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we are thankful that we could come. Lord, that we are able to come and to worship and celebrate you here. Father, we just thank you for the freedom which you give us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the choices that we make and putting you first in our life. Lord, we know that as we seek to put you first in our life, Lord, you bless us and you bless those around us. Lord, continue to put within us a desire and a will to put you first in our life. Lord, we just praise you here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for our call to worship. Thank you, Nancy. That was beautiful. Very beautiful. You'll find it's inside of your bulletins from Psalm 73. It says, "Those who are far from you shall perish, but it is good for me to draw near to God. You have destroyed all those who desert you in harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Put your trust in the Lord God, that you may declare all his works. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. Let's turn our hymnals, page 358. I am thine, O Lord. Page 358. Let's sing to the Lord. Sound good today. Wow, just kind of taking that in, all those voices ringing together and singing praise to God. Boy, that is wonderful, isn't it? And just a blessing to hear all of you singing this morning. Okay, just want to take a few minutes to gather up our prayer requests or praises that we'd like to share. A couple I want you to continue to put on your list or have on your list. If you would continue to remember and pray for Jane Wilson. We've had her on our list last two Sundays, I think. We want to just continue to pray for Jane. Jane is still in the hospital. Jane Shiflett.
It's a senior
moment. Yes, it is. Shiflett. Yes. Jane Shiflett, if you would, continue to put her in your prayer list and that she would heal and God would heal her and get her at home from the hospital. Also, Barbara Karakoff, if you would, is another name that's been shared with me, and she's in the hospital in Richmond. If you would, just be in prayer for her also. Also, by way of congratulations, we want to just say a congratulations to Fred and Helen Shank for a new grandbaby that they received into their family. And so we just celebrate with them and congratulate them for the new arrival. So, Fred, how many does that make now, grandbabies?
Seven
grandbabies. Yeah, all a blessing, right? Praise the Lord. Glad that you have received that new bundle of joy into your family. So, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Janet.
Yes, I would like you to continue to be in prayer for my niece, Sherry.
Yes. Yes, on the 20th, right?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you, Janet. Certainly continue to pray for her. As Janet said, very serious surgery, and we just pray that that will go well. Continue to pray for her healing, though, as well after that. So, Janet, thank you for reminding us of that, and continue to keep Sherry, if you would, in your prayers this week, especially on Friday. Megan. Yeah.
Find a relationship with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Megan, for sharing that. She just shared that she knows three families that have lost loved ones and just in a week. And so if you would, just be in prayer for those families. God knows who they are, and just pray for comfort for them and that they would seek the Lord during this time. Absolutely. I hear your heart there. Thank you, Megan, for sharing that. Other prayer requests or praises? That's right. Thank you, Travis. You want to continue to pray for Leon Linker, if you would. Leon is traveling. He is in Honduras, and he is doing mission work there. So we just pray for his safety and that he's accomplishing a lot. And so I know he has a lot of fun on those trips, but he does such good work and helps those that are in need. We just want to continue to pray for him. He comes back on the 21st, so... That'll be on Saturday.
Your surgery?
Yeah, I have a surgery in February on my hand, so yeah, I appreciate your prayers with that as well. Thank you. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, with humble hearts. Lord, we come before you with our prayer requests, Lord, which are good. Lord, we seek your will in all these matters, all these things, Lord, and requests that we offer before you this morning. Lord, we pray for healing for those that need healing. Lord, we pray for comfort for those that need comfort. And Lord, we continue to give you praise for answered prayers within our midst. Lord, we see your prayers answered. And Lord, we experience answered prayers in our own life. And Lord, in these things this morning, we give praise and Lord, we rejoice in you. Lord, upon our hearts though this morning, I pray as well as just the sorrow we feel for those that do not know you. Lord, there's too many in our world. There's too many in our community, in our workplace, in our schools, in our families. Lord, that they just have not sought you in their life, Lord. They're seeking other things, making more things more important. Lord, they've forgotten how important you are in each of their lives. Lord, we lift each of these persons up to you this morning. We pray that your Spirit might move in their life, and Lord, that you might again gently remind them that, Lord, you need to be first. Lord, that they need to come and draw close to you in their life and seek to serve you first. Lord, that's our prayer this morning, our honest plea to you, Lord. Just pray for this revival to take place for those around us, Lord, that are not seeking you. Lord, for us, we are seeking you, Lord, and we seek to praise you, put you first, Lord. Even in our offering this morning, Lord, we seek to just honor and praise you through it. Lord, we just seek you in our worship this morning. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, Lord. It's his devotion for us upon the cross that changed our life. And Lord, we just praise his name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. May we see. Okay, our children's church and our youth Sunday school can be dismissed now. I want you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Just one verse here, verse 22 that we're looking at today. The title of our sermon is To Draw Near to God. So we're reading here from book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22. Just one verse here. Paul says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." You know, from the beginning, the one thing that God has always wanted for his people, for you, for me, is a relationship with us, isn't it? He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Lord, your Savior. And he wants that personal connection with you in your life. He wants you to draw near, doesn't he? He wants you to draw near to God. So let me ask you really a point-blank question here this morning. Is the question, do you have a relationship with your Savior? Only you can answer that. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Really, that's a yes or no answer, really, isn't it, in your life? You either do or you don't. But I also recognize that there are various degrees to that answer as well. It could be a no, right? You could say, well, no, I don't necessarily have a relationship. But then the degree of it is that, well, but I'm searching. I'm searching for answers. I'm looking for truth in my life. I'm asking questions about what is real, what is not real, what is foundational, what is not foundational. Now, that's one degree of no, isn't it? There's hope for that no, I think. But then there's another degree of no, which is I am in total rejection to the things of God. You ever met a person like that? That's another degree of no. That I'm not searching. I don't even care. I don't want to care. I don't want to know. I don't want to have a conversation. And really, that degree of no is kind of sad because there's this heart of rejection that is within a person. Of course, and I don't understand why. You know, God didn't reject them. Why should they reject God? But yet a person can have this degree of no within their life. You know, there can also be degrees of yes as well, can't there? There can be various degrees of yes, too. You can have maybe a yes, but for instance, you could say yes, but we're in a relationship with God, but that relationship is kind of strained. Maybe that relationship is somewhat neglected or even abused. My relationship with God is coming to church when I feel like it, when it fits my schedule. My tithing is when I have maybe some extra money, not really God first. My Bible reading is really non-existent, except maybe a little bit at church or at funerals. My prayer time is more about me telling God what I want rather than seeking His will in my life. And so that's a degree of yes, isn't it? Yes, I have a relationship, but that degree is kind of strained. That relationship is somewhat neglected. And then there is a degree of yes in which you could say, I strive to draw near to God. I strive to draw near to God each day of my life. I'm seeking God with my life. I'm seeking God to hear His voice. I read the Bible so I can clearly hear God's instructions for me and for His Spirit to speak to me through His Word. I'm talking with God. I'm spending time in prayer. I seek to place others before myself because that's what Jesus did for me. I come to church not because it's convenient or I have some time, but because I make it a priority. And I'm serving my Savior and I'm putting Him first. Now there's another degree of yes, isn't it? Which degree do you think that God wants from us? Certainly the degree that we are seeking Him with our whole lives, with our whole heart, with our whole selves. That's the degree of relationship that God wants you to have with Him. Now I ask again, do you have a relationship with Jesus? You say yes, and I'll say, to what degree of relationship do you have? Certainly God wants you to have a deeper relationship. I don't care wherever you fall on that spectrum, even if you're in the one that's totally great. God still wants more, doesn't He? None of us are perfect, right? We all sin. That's just kind of part of it. And we all fall short even in that relationship with God. And God is wanting more. God is wanting us to continue to draw near to Him and to find perfection in His eyes as we seek that relationship with God. Now, Paul talks about this to the Philippians, about this kind of pushing forward, this striving to have this relationship with God in our life. And listen to what he says to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Paul says, it's not that I have already obtained this or am perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, he says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let those of us who are mature think this way, he says. And if in anything you think otherwise, may God reveal that also to you. What he's saying is there's this striving, there's this struggle that he's seeking this depth of relationship with God. It's not that that relationship has perfected. It's not that it's perfect. It's not that he is perfect. But that he is striving, he is struggling, he is working at this relationship between him and God. He wants to grow deeper in his faith. He wants to grow deeper in this relationship with God. He is not satisfied with the degree of relationship that he has with God. He wants something more. And he's pressing forward. That pressing forward is in that relationship with God. He's pressing forward. He's not going backward. He's going forwards in that relationship. Boy, that's something remarkable for Paul to say, isn't it? Here's a guy that you would think, if there's ever a perfect relationship with God, it has to be Paul. He wrote near two-thirds of our New Testament. And yet he's saying, I'm not even content with where I am with God in my life. That I want more. That I want to grow closer to God. That I want to be closer to God in my relationship with Him. That I see there's places in my life where I fail and I want to change. And that's what God wants in your heart. That's not to say that we're perfect, but that we are striving for that relationship with Christ in our life each and every day. You know, none of us are perfect. That makes us human. But what makes us Christian is that we're pressing onward. We're going forwards and finding that perfection of self that is found only in Christ Jesus. That as Christians, we're fully engaged in the Christian struggle to draw near to God. With the promise that if we draw near to God, that God will in turn draw near to us. Paul says, it's not that I have already obtained this perfection, but I press on to make it my own. Isn't that beautiful? I pray that's what your heart says as well. That I am seeking that depth of relationship with God that He wants to have with me. Now, I want to give you three reasons this morning of why we should want to draw near to God. Three good reasons, I think, of why we should want to increase the degree of relationship that we have with God. Maybe this will encourage you to want to draw near to God. Number one, because, listen, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. The psalmist says, chapter 90, verse 12, God, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Listen, our days are numbered, right? We don't know how many days we have, but every person, everything really has an expiration date on it, doesn't it? There's an expiration date on my life. I don't know when that is. If you ever go to the fridge and you pull out something, and what do? You look at the expiration date. At least I do. Especially if I'm getting a drink of milk. Have you ever drank milk and not checked the expiration date? I always give it the sniff test. That's how you really tell. But everything has an expiration date upon the earth, doesn't it? Even us. Our days are numbered. And God's saying, while there's still time, while you still have days left, draw near to God, because that's the thing that's most important. That's the thing that really matters. That's the thing that really counts in your life. Boy, the world fools us, doesn't it? We get fooled in our own minds. We think all these other things are so much more important in our life than God. We have to confess, don't we? Lord, forgive me. That I put all these other things in my life as more important or first, when really, it won't matter when our days end, will it? Think of all the things that we give priority to into our life, and if God was to call us tomorrow, would those things matter anymore? They really wouldn't, would they? God is saying, draw close to me while you still have time. You know, a lot of us think we have a lot of time left, but truthfully, we don't know how much time we have left. It may be days, maybe years, it may be hours. I can tell you this, though, in our mind, we have a lot more time that we think we're going to get than we actually do. That's what I find is true. I asked Billy Graham one time what was the most surprising thing for him in his life as he reflected back over his years, and he said, the brevity of it. Just how quick it passes by. The psalmist would go to say, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Time here one moment, gone the next. Life is not permanent here, friends. It's permanent, but it's not permanent here. Life is either spent in one of two places in eternity. In heaven or in hell. One of two places. Heaven or hell. You know, preachers don't preach enough about hell today, do they? We need to start talking about it again. There's two ways. There's two roads that lead out of this world. There's heaven and hell. And God says, while there is still time, make sure you are choosing the road that gets you to heaven. Because the opposite is the one that takes you to hell. Make sure you're putting me first. Draw near to me while there's still time in your life, friends. Don't waste your time on foolish things. Don't waste your time on foolish things. Every minute you seek on yourself is a minute wasted. Really is. Every minute that you spend seeking to glorify Christ in your life is a minute well spent. Amen? Amen. Seek Him while there's still time. Now, number two, because of His imminent return, the return of Christ, the Bible very clearly teaches that one day Jesus is going to return for His church. Now, we don't know when that day is either. 1 Thessalonians says, for the Lord Himself would descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, is what the Bible says. There is a day of imminent return for Christ. Jesus is going to come again. Now, do you know what happens? There's two things that happen at the return of Christ. Really, two things. First of all, it is the reward of the believers, right? You're rewarded if you're a believer. You will be received up into heaven with God if you are a believer, if you've received Christ, if you've drawn near to God in your life, you will be lifted up into the heavens and where you'll be with eternity with Christ. But the second thing that happens, if you've not drawn near to God, judgment will happen upon this earth for the non-believers. That's what the Bible says. 7 years of judgment will unfold. And then after that, there's the judgment seat of Christ, which He'll judge for eternity those things that a person has done and will be punished in eternity because they have rejected Christ. There's this return, this reward that the believer receives, but then there is this other way as well, this judgment. And God is saying, draw near to me, because at some point I'm going to return and there's two ways that this is going to go for you. Either you're going to be rewarded and you're going to be received up into heaven into my kingdom, or you're going to go through the punishment and judgment that I have for this earth and for those that have disregarded me and their life. One of two ways. Now, none of us know the day nor the hour when Jesus comes. Jesus said not even the angels in heaven know the day of His return. But what we do know is that Jesus said it is imminent, that it is soon, and it is when we least expect it. Jesus said it would be like the day of Noah when His return happened. For in the days of the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. What is Jesus saying? Well, there's just this carefree attitude. that God has said, at that point, remember, Noah was out preaching the gospel. He was saying that the disaster, the flood is coming. God is going to judge the earth, get right with God, enter into the ark. And what did they do? It was carefree. They were marrying. They were partying. They were having a good time. They were living as if there's no impending judgment to come. God's not going to destroy the earth by water. We've never seen that happen before. Why would we believe it now? And they went about their business, not caring that God was going to judge the earth and destroy all living things. What do we see today happening? What has God said? When I return, there's going to be a judgment upon the earth. This time it won't be water, but what? Fire is what God says. You're not going to drown. I'm going to burn the earth. I'm going to scorch the land, and He will judge this earth. And He's saying, take warning that my imminent return is happening, that judgment is going to happen upon the earth. Don't just go about your days acting like it doesn't matter. So it was in the days of Noah. And guess what happened to the people that ignored what God said to them? They all perished, didn't they? They all perished. Listen, there's going to be a multitude of people that perish because they don't take heed that God is coming again. Listen, draw near to God before His return. The imminent return of Christ could happen at any moment. You ever heard somebody say, is that what you want to be seen doing when Jesus comes? You know, do you want to be found living a sinful life, living in sin, walking away from God, doing those things that please the flesh when God comes back? Or do you want to be found a faithful servant of God doing His work upon the earth? Well, I know what I want to be. I want to be a faithful servant of God. Matthew 24:46. You should mark this in your Bibles. Jesus said, blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find doing so. Basically, he's saying when Jesus returns, blessed is the servant whom his master sees is doing so, doing the work of God, being faithful to the work in which you've been called. Listen, we draw near to God because our days are numbered. We draw near to God because of His imminent return. And lastly, we draw near to God because our true heart of faith demands it. Look there again at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice there, that heart and that faith depend, your heart of faith depend on drawing near to God, so that you receive this cleansing in your life, this sprinkling that happens within your life, a sprinkling from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, we draw near because of that washing of the Spirit, that cleansing that happens when we are drawing near to God. Have you ever noticed that you start to feel that cleansing disappear when you're not doing the things of God in your life? You almost feel dirty, don't you? I'm living a life of sin. I'm not doing the things that God calls me to do. I'm not being faithful to the demands that He seeks from my life. And you can feel that cleansing start to be removed from you. You can feel as if you're falling away from the things of God or nearness to God. But He says, draw near to me so you can receive these things, this true heart of faith in your life. You know, the believer, someone says, is always in motion. A believer's life is always in motion. But you're moving one of two ways. You're either moving towards God or you're moving away from God. There's no neutral. There's no standing still. You can't just say, I'm going to hold my pattern here and this is where I'm at. No, that's not the way it works. You're either moving towards God in your life or you're drifting away from Him. And if we're not drawing near to God, then friends, we are drifting away. We're drifting away. You know, a few years ago, I had this idea that I was going to grow a bonsai tree. You ever just had a crazy thought? I like these little bonsai trees, and I thought, you know, I'm going to try to grow one and try to, you know, make it pretty and all that. Bonsai tree is like a full-size tree, but just shrunk down. And so ended up getting a little pine tree and had it there in a little bowl and put it in the sunlight and started out pretty good. I would water it and watch it grow. Now, you have to get it so mature before you can start bending it around and, you know, doing too much to it. But that went on for a while. But then I got busy with things, and I'd forget to water the little tree. And I'd think about it, and I'd go over and see his soil, and it was so dry. He was gasping for water, so I'd fill him up all the way, you know, get him real nice and wet. And I'd maybe pay attention to him for a little bit longer, a couple more weeks, and then I'd forget. Then I'd remember, and I'd go over and check his soil. And, of course, he was, and all this time, he's struggling, you know. His needles are falling off. He's looking horrible. And I'd flood him with water, and he'd come back to life for a little bit. And this went on for a while until the little guy just died. There was nothing left for him to do. He just didn't get the water, and he died. So I took a tree, just threw it in the trash. That was the end of my bonsai adventure. I wanted to do it, but just didn't. What I did is I neglected the tree, didn't I? I neglected it. And what happens to something that's neglected? It dies. It dies. It just dies away. Sometimes I think our spiritual life is kind of like how I kept care of my little bonsai tree. Neglect, 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 and then all of a sudden flood it with water. And then neglect, 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 then flood it with water. Can any tree survive like that? Can your spiritual life survive like that? No, we have to be constantly caring for it, nurturing it, looking after it, giving it the attention that it needs to grow and be mature and strong. Works the same way, doesn't it? We can't have that flood our life mentality where all of a sudden I'm on fire for the things of God and I'm doing it and I'm doing it and I'm reading my Bible and then 3 weeks later, well, who cares? I'm back to the old life. Other things are more important. God who? What? Church? What? And then we see our life in shambles. The needle starts to fall off. We see the problems arise. And guess what we do? Back to it. I'm back to church. I'm back. I need the Lord. I need this. Blah, 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 blah. And then we go right back to neglecting this cycle of God's important, no, God's not. God's important, no, God's not. Listen, no tree can live under that environment. No spiritual life can live in that environment. God says, I want you to draw near to me in your life. I want you to have that relationship with me in your life. I want to be your attention every day, your necessity every day. I want you to be seeking me with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole self. And I want you to do that daily. Not something to just think about and flood your life with one moment, but something that you're constantly doing, that you're seeking Him in your life. Does that make sense? Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this little lesson here this morning. Maybe, Father, we've been sitting here and we feel like this word is speaking directly to us. Lord, I just pray that you put within us a heart that seeks to draw near to you, that seeks that true relationship with you each and every day of our life, that we get out of bed, we put our feet on the floor, and we say that we're going to put God first. We're going to seek you first. We're going to seek to follow your word first. And Lord, we're going to do it with all our heart. Lord, I pray that we do that each and every day, that we make you a priority, Lord, that we draw near to you each day of our life, and knowing, Lord, that as we draw near to you, your word tells us that you will in turn draw near to us. Lord, we thank you for that promise which we have today. Lord, we claim it, we receive it, and we thank you for it. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn, so fitting for what we've been talking about. Page 366, I Surrender All. Maybe as you sing these words, that's what your heart cries forth to the Lord today. That you're surrendering again your life to Him. That He's going to come first before all other things. Let's stand together, page 366 in Psalm. Heavenly Father, I just pray our hearts are surrendered to you here this morning. Lord, maybe our life has been just like that example of the little tree. Maybe our spiritual life has felt like that. Lord, maybe we've neglected to draw near to you daily. Lord, maybe we've neglected to seek you in your word or in prayer or even in going to church. Lord, I pray now that you put within us a revived heart. a revived spirit to seek you daily and to truly draw near to you in that relationship that you desire for us to have with you. Help us, I pray, as your church, to draw near to you and to seek you with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all ourselves. Help us, Lord, do that, I pray. I know, Lord, that's what you want. Lord, I pray that's what we want as well. Bless us, I pray, this week as we go. Keep your hand upon us till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.